We turn in God's Word this morning to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, the text this morning will be verses 15 and 16, and we're going to read the first 16 verses of the chapter. Hebrews 13, this is the Word of God. "But brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ is same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come." And now begins the words of the text. "By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate forget not. With such sacrifices God is well pleased." Thus far we read God's word. So ask God's blessing on the preaching and prayer. Father in heaven, we seek thy blessing upon this word this morning, that as this word goes forth from thy servant, it may be the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, that it may be a word that, through the working of the Holy Spirit, encourages all of us in a life of true gratitude. We're thankful for a time to consider that and what that means for the way that we are to live our lives. May we meditate on this morning, but also meditate on this as we leave here so that we may learn more and more to give thanks to thee, our God. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The text is an encouragement to be thankful. It's not a harsh command in which the writer of the book of Hebrews is admonishing the Hebrew Christians that he's writing to because they had not been thankful. No. The tone of the text is encouragement. You see that from the very wording of it. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." The writer to the book of the Hebrews includes himself in it, and he's encouraging himself with the church to give thanks to God. And that's exactly what we need on a Thanksgiving day when we come together to consider what true Thanksgiving is. We know what thankful living is. We know what it means to be thankful. Yet the struggle for us is to live that in our lives on a daily basis. And so this is the encouraging word that we need. Let us together offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. For a couple of reasons specifically, we need this encouragement. We need this encouragement because of the world in which we live today. We know that the world around us is an enemy that Satan uses to attack us, and it does so at the time of Thanksgiving as well. The world says it knows Thanksgiving and that it's thankful too for all the things that they have, but yet the world of darkness and sin that knows not Jesus Christ cannot be truly thankful. And the evidence of that too is what the focus is. What's going to be the focus tomorrow morning starting at 3, 4, 5, 6 a.m., whatever time the store is open. After day of Thanksgiving, supposedly, it's on getting all the things that we want for ourselves. And it's not just tomorrow morning, but it's today, and it was yesterday, and last week, with all that focus on the commercialism of Christmas in our day. And so we need a reminder in this world where that's just one example of not knowing true Thanksgiving. We need to see and understand what it is to be truly thankful. But as we always want to see, the danger is not just the world. The danger is our own sinful flesh and the struggle that we have to live thankful lives, to live the whole of our lives with an attitude of gratitude. I'm going to use that phrase a bit this morning. Maybe it seems a little cheesy even, but an attitude of gratitude to help us remember that in all of life, we want to have that attitude and that perspective of living in gratitude to God because of His amazing grace and love in Jesus Christ. The text teaches us true thanksgiving using the idea, the figure, the picture of sacrifice. That's not something unique or new in the book of Hebrews. When you look at the book of Hebrews, that comes up repeatedly, and it does so because of the book of Hebrews is a book in which there is a very close tie between the Old Testament and the New Testament. What the Holy Spirit is doing in the book of Hebrews is showing that everything in the Old Testament, the sacrifices, the ceremonies, all of it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So everything in the Old Testament was picture looking ahead to Christ, because God's people in the Old Testament lived in the types and in the shadows. So it makes sense that there's the language of sacrifice. In fact, that's part of how the Holy Spirit uses to teach us about the work of Christ. Not in this passage, but in other passages. Hebrews 9, Hebrews 10. Speaking of the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ came as our high priest and He made the one sacrifice that actually does pay for sin. The blood of bulls and goats does not pay for sin. But what does pay for sin is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Now, in the passage that we look at this morning, the writer is using sacrifice to teach us about thanksgiving. All of that's found right here in the chapter. The verses before this point us to the blood of Christ. Talks about that in verses 12 and 13. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. Hold this. Term isn't used there. The idea is sacrifice yet. The verses before pointing to the sacrifices in the Old Testament. Now, the text uses the concept, the idea, the picture of the thank offerings in the Old Testament to teach us how we are to be thankful in our lives. And this is the way in which the Holy Spirit, through this text, gives us encouragement to be a thankful people. So this morning we consider offering the thanksgiving sacrifice. We notice first what it is, secondly how it is offered, and finally how it is possible. True thanksgiving is this. It's a life of praise lived in response to the abundant and generous grace of God. The text is teaching us that this is what thanksgiving is. It's a life of praise in response to the abundant and generous grace of God. That's what arises out of the text as it uses that picture, that figure of the Old Testament thank offerings. So we have to imagine in our minds for a moment the people of Israel lined up at the tabernacle or the temple to bring these thank offerings to God. Now the thank offerings in the Old Testament were a special designation of peace offerings. So there were different kinds of offerings that the people of Israel would bring in the Old Testament. They would bring peace offerings. They would bring thank offerings. They would bring wave offerings. Well, thank offering was an aspect or a part of the peace offering. And the peace offering was focused on this. It was a way in which the people of Israel celebrated the fact that they had peace and friendship with God. And so the peace offering they brought was an animal. It included bloodshed to remind them that the only way for them to have fellowship and friendship and peace with God is through the Savior that God had promised to send. And when they brought that peace offering, the people of Israel rejoiced in those promises of God. And they rejoiced in the peace that they experienced, even though the redemption had not yet been accomplished, but it would certainly be accomplished because God had promised it. And so you can picture the people of Israel then lining up with these peace offerings, but along with that peace offering, they would bring a thank offering. And that thank offering of the peace offering was usually a loaf of bread, a loaf of unleavened bread or a loaf of leavened bread. Basically, it was the fruit of what God had given to them, the fruit of the earth. And they were to bring that to show their thanks to God. And so the people of Israel would come with the peace offering, bringing that thank offering because they knew peace with God. Now, certainly, there were times in the history of the people of Israel that they brought those sacrifices out of habit or custom. They just did it because they were supposed to. But there were other times when the people of Israel brought these sacrifices because they were so moved by the goodness and the generosity of Jehovah God. There are a couple of times in the history of Israel when that stands out. The first is when Solomon built the temple and there was the dedication to the temple. We read of that in 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And we read there in verses 5 and 6, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever, when David praised by their ministry. And the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. And the idea was that they brought those sacrifices, yes, as a picture of the Messiah to come, but they brought those sacrifices to give thanks to God for the temple, which pictured fellowship with their God. There's even a more striking example of this in 2 Chronicles 29. 2 Chronicles 29. This was when Hezekiah became king of Judah. Remember the southern kingdom of Judah. Hezekiah became king, and he was used by God to bring a great reformation in Judah. Before this, there was idol worship. Before this, there was all kinds of disobedience to the laws of God. But Hezekiah changed all that. He cleansed the temple. He restored again the Passover feast. And the people were joyful for what God had done through Hezekiah. And the people responded by bringing thank offerings. Read of that. 2 Chronicles 29, 31 through 35. Then Hezekiah answered and said, "Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord." And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings that the congregation brought was 70 bullocks and 100 rams and 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. And then we read further on in those verses that so many animals were brought and so many sacrifices were brought that literally the people were standing in line all day to bring them. And there weren't enough priests and Levites to help the people with all of those sacrifices to get them all done in that one day. You see, the people were so moved by gratitude that they had to bring these thank offerings to God. So that's why I say this morning, imagine the people of Israel lined up with these animals and these cakes to give thanks to God. That's the picture set before us this morning. How amazing that is. There aren't people lined up this morning to go to churches. Tomorrow morning, there'll be people lined up outside the stores. Maybe they're lined up already. But what about this? What about us? Is this what we want to do? Not just today, not just in this moment, but in everything that we do. We learn from this the way in which we are to live thankful lives. We learn what thanksgiving is. And there are three things that we point out. First of all, true thanksgiving is focused on the gifts that God has given. As we learn from the Old Testament thank offerings, the people brought them because they were thankful for the gifts that God had given. What had God given to them? Well, not only the physical things that they had, not only an abundant harvest, but they were thankful that they had peace with God. They were thankful that they knew God. They were thankful that God loved them. They were thankful that God was not filled with wrath towards them, even though that's what they deserved. But instead, He was filled with abundant loving kindness, mercy, and grace. Abundant love, compassion, and favor. So also, that must be our focus today and always. True thanksgiving is about the gifts that God has given to us. And it's not just that we have so many earthly things. We do. We live in a land of abundance. There's no doubt about it. But you see, there are a lot of people who have a lot of things. The focus of our thanksgiving is not the things and the stuff. But instead, it's what God has given to us in Jesus Christ. It's the amazing, abundant attitude of favor of God toward us. And what's so amazing about that is we don't deserve it. We understand that about grace. Grace is undeserved favor. God has showered us with blessings. He's brought us into a covenant relationship with Himself. We have peace with Him. He's not going to destroy us in the end. Instead, He's going to bring us to Himself. And we have all of this in Jesus Christ. And because the work that He has done, it's not anything we have done, and we certainly don't deserve it. True thanksgiving begins and ends with that. It begins and ends with the gospel. True thanksgiving begins and ends with Jesus Christ. And that's the question this morning. Are we thankful for God's abundant, generous grace? Are we thankful for Jesus Christ and the work that He has done? When we are, the response is praise. That's the second thing we learn about thanksgiving from the Old Testament thank offerings. The response is to praise God. The focus of thanksgiving, the good gifts that God has given, the response is praise to Him. That's what the text itself tells us in the wording of the text. It's let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. When the people of Israel brought the thank offerings in the Old Testament, they were not bringing to God something that He didn't already have. Or to put it another way, the people of Israel were simply bringing in those thank offerings, what God already owned, what God had given to them. And they showed their gratitude by returning to God the things that He had given to them. The point is that thanksgiving is not about doing something for God. Thanksgiving is not about giving to God something He doesn't already have, because He already owns everything. He possesses everything. That's what we see there from those thank offerings. They brought those thank offerings to give to God so that He would be praised for what He had done. God does not benefit, you might say, from our thanksgiving in the sense that He gains something from what we give to Him. But thanksgiving is praise. It's seeing the giver of these good gifts and praising Him for these gifts that He has given to us. True thanksgiving always acknowledges the greatness of the giver of all that we have, the things of this earth and our salvation. True thanksgiving always praises God because God has given to us what we could never obtain ourselves. God has given to us what we could never earn ourselves or deserve ourselves. God has given us these things even though we don't deserve them. He then must be praised and thanked for what He has done. So we see and understand that true thanksgiving is glorifying and praising God. Now, the third thing we want to see about true thanksgiving is that comes out of these sacrifices in the Old Testament, is that thanksgiving is an attitude by which we live the whole of our lives. That one word in the text, continually, is so important. Continually, we are to give these sacrifices of praise to God. That's in contrast to what the people of Israel did in the Old Testament. Now, they had the law, and they knew that they were to live in gratitude to God for what He had done. But there were certain particular times when they especially showed that thanks and praise to God. Now, in contrast to those particular times, the text is saying to us that the sacrifice of praise and thanks we bring to God is something that we do always. And it's not just a day, and it's not just a life either. True gratitude begins in the heart as an attitude. Gratitude's a perspective. It's a lens through which we see all of life. That's the idea here. An attitude of gratitude is what we ought to have in our lives. And that's because the focus of our gratitude is grace and mercy, what God has done. And the idea of God's grace is that God's grace is grace upon grace, an abundant supply that never runs dry. Always upon us is the favor and the compassion and the love of God, and never does that change. And the response of God's people then is to see that in all of life. That's why this morning, when we talked about thanksgiving, I didn't begin with things. I didn't begin with circumstances. Because that ought not to be the focus. That doesn't mean that your circumstances aren't real. They are. There are hardships and struggles for everybody who's here this morning. There are things that make it hard for us at times to be truly grateful and thankful, because sometimes we don't feel like it, especially when there's pain, especially when there's suffering, especially when we're feeling down. But you see, gratitude is a perspective. It's a way that we're to look at things so that then we're not complaining. How easily that happens. That our attitude, our perspective is one of complaining. Complaining about people, complaining about my spouse, complaining about my kids, complaining about my parents, complaining about the sickness, complaining about the cold and the snow that's come already, and we see it again. Complaining about this, that, or the other thing. Complaining that we don't have enough money. Often don't we say, well, I can't do that because I can't afford that. And sometimes just by saying that in the way that we do, it can be a complaint. But that's not the life we're called to live by God. We're called to live a life of gratitude, having in our hearts gratitude that's welling up and overflowing no matter what the circumstances, because this I know, God is for me. God is a God of favor. God is gracious and abundant and generous in that grace. Now I know this morning that some are hurting. Some are hurting because they're missing loved ones. There are people who at your Thanksgiving gathering today won't be there, who were once there for whatever reason. There may be great turmoil that you're going through right now in your own hearts or in your life or in your family life right now. Maybe you don't feel very blessed right now. But whether or not you feel it, that doesn't mean that you are not blessed. We understand that true gratitude exists because of the abundant grace of God to us in Jesus Christ. And then in that perspective, we see and understand that this sovereign God who's gracious is in control, and He's using hardships to purify and refine. He's using these things for our good. And then we can be thankful even for the hardship and difficulty that God sends. So may we learn this in our lives, that our attitude towards life must be one of being thankful. That's part of the encouragement that the text gives in this gratitude. Now, along with that, how is this gratitude or thanksgiving sacrifice offered to God? Well, this thanksgiving sacrifice is not an animal. It's not a loaf of bread. It's not something we've grown in our own gardens. It's not money simply that we've earned, but instead it's the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name, the text tells us. It identifies in a very specific way in which we give thanks to our God. The people of Israel, when they brought these thank offerings, were doing that in worship. They were bringing those thank offerings, that fruit of what they had grown in their own fields, to give thanks to God at a particular time of worship at the tabernacle and then at the temple. The text is saying to us, no, that's not the way in which we do it today. But the way in which we do it today is still in time of worship. We give praise and thanks to God, praising Him with our mouths. That's the idea. Praise. That word in the text, praise, has the idea of singing praises to God. That's a word that is used to describe the songs of the angels at the time of Jesus' birth, when they sang praises to God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And the word here, giving thanks, has the idea of confession. So again, with the mouth, words are expressed, giving thanks to God for what He has done. We bring in our thank offerings what God has given to us. What has God given to us? He's given us new hearts. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, He has given us mouths that now desire to praise Him. He's changed us from the inside out so that we use our mouths differently because our hearts are different. And so the idea here is that we now bring the sacrifice of what God has given to us. The sacrifice of what God has given to us is praise that comes out of our lips. That's what we do when we worship God. And that's the focus here. We give thanks to God then when we worship. That's the purpose of our worship. Not just today, but every Sunday when we come together for worship. It's to thank and praise God. And we do that with our mouths. We do that with singing. We do that when we confess our faith. We do that in prayer, even though together we're not talking Yet even through the mouth of the pastor as he leads us in prayer, we are praising God in that. That's how we praise God. That's what we do when we worship God. And we do that in this way because this is the way God has ordained for us to give thanks to Him. Singing and prayer, which is the chief part of thankfulness. This morning as we meditate on gratitude, that's one of the things we ought to be thinking about. What about our worship? What is our worship, the way in which we worship, our preparation for worship, our presence for worship, say about where we're at with gratitude? What do our worship practices say about the level of gratitude that's found in our hearts? What is the way in which we sing? Say about the level of gratitude in our hearts. I'm not saying always by how loud it is. That would be one way. In songs that are more thankful and giving praise to God and the tunes that are focused on that as well. But it's not just that. It's focused on the words and thinking about them and focused on God as we sing these praises to Him. What does our singing say about our hearts? We all take notice of the way in which the choirs sing. And the way in which they do that, even the body movement of the students and so on. And we're thankful for that, but what about when we're standing here in church and we're worshiping God in song? What does our singing say about our hearts? Not only that, but what about our activity in worship, being present and how alert we are and aware we are in our worship? And not just here in church, but in our homes. How often are we having family worship and how many times are other things getting in the way of that? And how often are we having individual worship where we're praying to God and being in the Word? And what does that say about the gratitude that's found in our hearts? Now, to recapture that gratitude, it really takes worship. It takes being focused on God, reading His Word, seeing the great things that He has done, looking up to Him and the greatness of the giver of all these gifts. But we understand that thanksgiving for the child of God is not simply to be found in certain times of worship, but it's a life of worship to God. And that's part of that word continually here in the text, not only how we view life, but the way that we live our lives. Gratitude, when it's lived, touches on every aspect of our lives and every moment of our lives. So we're conscious of that. Conscious of that in the work we do. We're conscious of that in the way we use our money. We're conscious of that as we give for the causes of the kingdom. What do those things say about our hearts and the gratitude that is found there? Gratitude touches on every part of our lives. And the way I wanted to look at it this morning is just looking for a moment at women and looking at men and looking at your children and the way that we're to show gratitude to God in our lives. What does it mean to be a thankful woman today in home and in church and in the world as well? Well, the wife that is a thankful wife, thankful to God for His grace and mercy, will show that by being a wife that's obedient to what God calls her to do as a wife in her home. She's going to love her husband. She's going to be thankful for her husband, no matter who that husband is and what kind of a husband he is, knowing that God is using that husband for her good, understanding and knowing the grace of God. And so she's going to serve and she's going to obey God in that. A mother who's thankful, knowing the love of God and the grace of God for her, will do her work in such a way that she views life through that lens of gratitude. So much so that it's not just about teaching the kids catechism or making sure they pray at lunchtime, but it's the way she goes about her work, changing another diaper, wiping another nose, getting up in the middle of the night to take care of a sick child. And she's had very little sleep. What keeps her going, what will keep her going is not just taking care of that child, but what will keep her going is gratitude, understanding, and knowing the grace of God that is constantly abundant. And so that's going to affect the way in which she does those things. You see, it affects the small moments of life as well. And then for the single woman of the church, who's called to serve the church with the gifts and abilities she has, she'll develop those gifts and abilities and use them to serve the church, to serve in the work and the calling that God has given to her because she's thankful for the love and the grace of God. And the same is true for a man who's thankful. If we're thankful, what kind of men will we be? Well, a man who knows the grace of God will be a tender and compassionate husband, caring and protecting for the wife that God has given to him. He'll say, I'm thankful for this wife, and I'm thankful for my marriage because I know the grace of God. And the father, he's going to work hard, knowing the grace of God, providing for his home and for his family. He's going to set a godly example in his life. He'll teach his children what it means to be kind and loving, and he'll say, I'm thankful for these children with his wife. And the single young man, he's not going to live for himself when he's focused on gratitude. He's going to live to serve the church and live to serve the God of his salvation. Thankful for the opportunities that he has to serve God in the single life. And you kids who have an attitude of gratitude, you're going as well to live in this gratitude in your lives. Serving and honoring and obeying your parents, being kind to your brothers and sisters, being kind to your friends, not focused on yourself and what others can do to me, but what I can do to serve others, because that's what God has called me to do. That's what gratitude looks like in some ways in our lives. That's what's encouraged here, bringing the sacrifice of thanks and praise continually. We're not able to do that ourselves. But the text points out to us that this gratitude is something that's ours and we're able to do through Christ. That's the way the text begins. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. It's only through Jesus Christ we can do this. It's only through Jesus Christ that we are doing this. It's only through His sacrifice. Again, the concept sacrifice. By His death, He works powerfully in us so that we no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died for us and rose again. We are united to Jesus Christ. We're made alive in Him. We're dead to ourselves and our sin. We have the desire now to give thanks to the God of our salvation. That's because our hearts have been changed. The Holy Spirit has worked in us and changed us so that as those who know the grace of God and see that grace of God, we want to live lives of gratitude to Him. That there's even a desire here to be here this morning. That there's a desire to think about our gratitude in our lives and whether or not we're living this like we should is only because of the work of the Holy Spirit. We ought to be so thankful for that. And here's another reason for us to give thanks. Look what God has done. Look what God has worked in us. Look what God has changed and continues to change in us. He is changing us, not so that we'll just be better people, so that we'll be more of more benefit to others in this world. No. He's changing us and saving us for the glory of His name. Look at the work that He's worked in you. Look at the work that He's working in the other people that are around you. What great things He has done. Let us now, in knowing this grace of God, the abundant, generous grace of God, give thanks to Him in the whole of our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, this morning we've meditated on true gratitude. May this word live in our hearts, that we may live it out in our lives today and in the coming days as well, because thou art a God who has given us so much. We are so thankful for grace and the blessings of that grace that have been earned for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise thee for that now, and we will praise thee for that into all eternity. And give us strength to praise thee in our lives day by day. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.